SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Fun segment we've been doing this week, which is detailing some of the Dynasty League futures in fantasy football. And naturally, if you would have told me before the beginning of the season, asked me, Davis, who the number one receiver would be taken in the NFL draft at wide receiver in college going into the NFL this season, I would have said Jordan Addison a million times for USC. I mean, he was consensus number one going in. Consensus best wide receiver in the country. So I guess when I was looking today at some of the receivers that we were going to talk about, I was really surprised to see, at least I'm supposing this is in your opinion, or maybe this is some of the draft projections, that he has been passed up by somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably Quentin Johnson is going to end up being the number one wide receiver off the board. And I'm super interested in Quentin Johnson for fantasy because he's kind of the old prototype of what we used to think of wide receivers, right? Bigger guy, plays on the perimeter, is going to win one-on-one a lot, you know, kind of like a Mike Williams type. Whereas, you know, if you think about the guys Julio Jones, right? A lot of the guys that we are going to talk about for this draft class are kind of the opposite. They are the new prototype. They are the Devonta Smith, the Chris Olave, the Garrett Wilson, right? So they can play outside, but they mostly play inside. They're smaller. None of these guys are 6 feet tall. They probably all weigh, you know, 180, 185 pounds, something like that. And now Addison does fit in there. Now, I mean, he is a super smooth guy. But this first guy that we are going to talk about, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I mean, he is a mystery wrapped in a riddle, wrapped inside of an enigma. I mean, what a weird prospect to try and figure out. I can't make heads or tails of him.
Okay, so I don't know a lot here, so you're going to have to help me out.
Okay, so Jaxon Smith-Njigba, last year, not this year for Ohio State, he comes in as a 18-year-old sophomore, right? And he comes into a game against Nebraska, 15 receptions, 240 yards, and a touchdown. That starts him. I mean, he is just absolutely dominating from that point. They get to their bowl game against Utah, Craig, 15 receptions, 347 yards, and three touchdowns for Ohio State, right? For Ohio State, with C.J. Stroud quarterbacking him, he outproduces Garrett Wilson over that time frame. He outproduces Chris Olave. I mean, he was more productive last season than two first-round NFL draft picks in Wilson and Olave. Jeremy Ruckert, also an NFL player. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Mbuka are also going to be NFL players, probably first-round picks in their own right. And Smith-Njigba was better than all of them. He put them all to shame at the end of the season. And Craig, this year, the guy barely played. I mean, I believe in the end, he had five receptions because of a hamstring injury. And he's going to go in the first round of the NFL draft. But I mean, it's just like, we've got six games of this guy. We've seen like six games of this guy playing. It's really crazy. My sense is that if he is in like the back half of rookie drafts, like 6 through 12, I'm probably going to take him in every single draft. But if he gets pretty pricey, his risk profile is obviously very intense.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, that's a fascinating story to think that he could end up being the first wide receiver taken. Maybe Quentin Johnson, as you said. Okay. So I know a ton about Jordan Addison, obviously watched him play at a very high level. I guess, Davis, the question that people are going to have from both a fantasy and reality point of view is that, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, the last 20 years of USC wide receivers has not necessarily worked out all that well for teams in the NFL. And I don't really know why that is, but this even dates back to Pete Carroll when he was head coach there at USC. But Addison last year, over 870 receiving yards and also 8 touchdowns. So do you think that is the case with him? Or do you think that he sort of breaks the mold? And maybe I'm missing a couple of good receivers from USC the last couple of years, but it feels like it hasn't gone as well as people would have thought.
Well, I hate to do it to you. So this did definitely used to be the case. You know, you want to think back to like, you know, Marquise Lee, some of these guys, you know, like guys who are like actually huge busts. Well, Amon-Ra St. Brown, USC, Drake London, USC, and Michael Pittman Jr. all went to USC the last 3 years. So those guys are definitely starting.
I don't know. Let's see. The jury's still out. Amon-Ra St. Brown's great. But those other two, I think that I can wait to see if they're going to be great or not. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sold on London after what he did to end the year. I mean, he once they got Marcus Mariota out of there, he looked a lot better. But honestly, I'm pretty concerned about Addison just because he is also a smaller guy, but I don't think he's going to have the crazy speed. I think they're going to get to the combine, and like I think Smith and Jigba is going to be a lot faster than him. And if he also, like, if he does have a poor combine, we're talking like this guy's going to be a second, third round pick. I mean, Craig, how many second, third round pick guys have we taken for our fantasy football teams and we're just never heard from again, right? Just like, Van Jefferson, Mecole Hardman, like so many guys. Yeah. Because wide receiver is so important in the NFL now. I mean, we had 6 wide receivers go in the first round last year, a bunch go in the second round. Like, a second round wide receiver is not the same thing that it used to be. But I think probably Smith and Jigba, Quentin Johnson, who we're about to talk about, and Addison are like the clear top tier. I think those guys are all going to be first round rookie picks, probably top, let's say 7 rounds of our redraft leagues next year. But I think there's a pretty significant drop after that.
Yeah. All right. So let's hit Quentin Johnson, who played for TCU and had that huge game against Michigan. Clearly, no one had a good game in the championship against Georgia, so you know that. Also was banged up a little bit last season, too, toward the end. But of the players we're talking about today, he feels, Davis, like the safest guy. Like, I don't know what kind of career he's going to have, and, you know, I don't know if he'll be Mike Evans or he'll be Julio Jones or who he's going to be, but I would guess the first few years of his career, the combination of his speed and size, as long as he gets with anybody who could just throw him the ball, I think you're going to be okay here. I just don't know, like, if he has a higher ceiling maybe than some of these other players we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, so, man, I can't even believe I'm bringing this up. I'm bringing some dark clouds to the program here. But I remember another TCU wide receiver who had all the traits, had all the skills. He was always open in college. He had, like, the worst quarterback play you've ever seen. But it felt like, once this guy gets a quarterback, he's going to be unbelievable. Of course, I'm talking about Jalen Reagor. Now, I would say Quentin Johnson started out his senior season at TCU, and you're thinking, oh, brother. He doesn't have over 40 yards for the first month of the season, doesn't score a touchdown for the first month of the season, and you're like, oh, here we go again. Jalen Reagor, 2.0, guy should have gone in the first round. And then he went absolutely nuts, 14 for 206 against Kansas, 8 for 180 against Oklahoma State, 4 for 139 in the championship game against K-State, 6 for 163 and 1 against Michigan. I'm not going to hold the game against Georgia against him. No, plenty of guys get shut out by Georgia. I'm gonna put it on the board. I'm not invoking the ghost of Jalen Reagor. I think Quentin Johnson, much better, much different skill set than Reagor. I think he's going to be okay.
I'm still shocked Reagor didn't turn out to be anything in the NFL. He was so good at TCU. But these are different players, though, too. Rager's smaller guy, punt return type. I think Reagor, if I'm not mistaken, Davis, I think I may have brought this up on the show before. I think he scored 8 straight touchdowns for TCU, meaning correct, 8 touchdowns in a row that TCU scored. He was the one that scored that. I mean, any player in college football that does that, you got to think something of. All right, let's talk about Josh Downs real quick from North Carolina. 80 receptions, over 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns, ACC player.
Everyone looks good in North Carolina. Everybody looks good at North Carolina. I mean, how many guys? It's just a great offense. He's playing with a great quarterback, Drake May, who's going to be a first-round pick next year. I can't develop. I mean, Downs seems interesting because of his size. I'll see how fast he runs at the combine, and then I will be able to deliver a real opinion.
Yeah, fair enough. Doesn't seem like a great wide receiver class, by the way, in the upcoming draft in the NFL. Few guys may be interesting, but we'll see. Maybe it's later on. We'll dive into some of the matchups in the NFL coming up next. So stay on the grid for that. Davis and I will be back with more fantasy sports today right after this quick timeout. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
by some fun games, of course, on the schedule this weekend. It is super wild card weekend. And folks, for those of you who are out of your season-long fantasy football league, whether you won or lost, there's some really good opportunities to make money. And one of them, of course, is by playing over at Thrive Fantasy. If you have not downloaded the app, do it right now. And on top of that, we're going to give you a deposit bonus. In fact, if you deposit with Thrive Fantasy for the first time and use our promo code, which is SportsGrid, SPORTSGRID, we're going to match your deposit bonus of up to $250. What does that mean? Download the app, put money in, you get a matched bonus of up to $250, but you have to use the promo code, which is SportsGrid. So make sure you prop up and do that before the weekend. And on top of that, we're going to give you some options to help you make some money this weekend with some props. We call it here on the show the Thrive Five. All right, some fun games this weekend, Davis. We've got, of course, the San Francisco 49ers taking on the Seattle Seahawks on Saturday. We also have the Los Angeles Chargers taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know, did you see that Chargers tweet that came out a couple hours ago? Did you see that tweet? Stunning to see how in on the media they got this morning. I don't know if you caught that.
I mean, what are they? Are they mad that people are not unanimously picking them to win?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if the Chargers were a more serious organization and didn't, just kerfuffle around and behave stupidly all the time, I would take them far more seriously.
Yeah, posting receipts on the board, you said this and you said this, worried about what Dan Orlovsky says. I mean, my gosh, like you're setting yourself up for... I don't know. I don't know what the Chargers are doing there. But anyway, here are the five props we're going to review here on our show today. Kenneth Walker, his total rushing yards is set on Thrive Fantasy at 78.5. We'll talk about Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver on the San Francisco Giants, who is set at 56.5. We also have George Kittle just scoring a touchdown in this game for the 49ers. Keenan Allen, in terms of his total receiving yards, which is set at 63.5. And then we will cap it off at the end with Evan Engram, who's been such a big weapon, Davis, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. His total receptions in this game set at 4.5. All right, so let's start off with Seattle. Now, if the game script goes Seattle's way, then Kenneth Walker is going to be rushing the ball 20 to 25 times in this game, I would guess. If it goes San Francisco's way, and a lot of games have gone San Francisco's way, then I don't know how much running Walker is going to do, and they do tend to use a couple of other running backs. DJ Dallas has been involved in the past, so as Travis Homer. But Walker's total rushing yards in this game on Thrive Fantasy is set at 78.5 rushing yards. If you go over that, you get 110 Thrive Fantasy points in the contest. If you go under that, it is 90. So let's get started off. Kenneth Walker's rushing yards.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to take the over here on Kenneth Walker for a couple reasons. The first being that, he's got three straight over 100 yards, so pretty good. I also think that the market might be a little wrong on this one. I could see Seattle and San Francisco being a little bit more competitive of a game than the markets are anticipating. For example, I think it's going to be far more competitive than Baltimore-Cincinnati. I imagine that Cincinnati probably is not going to break a sweat. Now, the Seahawks defense is quite poor, but look, I mean, Geno, single season franchise record for passing yardage for Seattle. Lockett and Metcalf, both of those guys are healthy, good to go. And I mean, Kenneth Walker is going to get the ball 22 times in this game, probably. Not a ton of work in the passing game. They had kind of been using multiple running backs, Craig, you're correct, but Travis Homer got injured again. He is probably not going to play this weekend, so it's just DJ Dallas there behind him. Tony Jones Jr. got waived. So I'm going the over here because I think he can get this in a loss or a win, a tight game, a blowout. Because kind of at 78 yards, it really only takes just one of those Kenneth Walker blowaway runs.
Yeah, it feels low. You know me, I love the underdogs in the NFL, and I think crazy things are going to happen this weekend. I don't think there's any doubt. My only fear, obviously, San Francisco wins this game big. I don't think Walker's going over this number. They keep it close within even the spread, 10, 8, something like that. Yeah, I mean, you know Pete Carroll. They're going to be running the ball at the end of the game no matter what. So hopefully that is the case for this prop. All right, now, Brandon Ayuk, once Deebo Samuel got hurt, really came on for the San Francisco 49ers. That's the next prop we're going to be talking about. And then we'll hit on George Kittle, Keenan Allen, and cap it off with Evan Engram and his total amount of receptions. But Ayuk, Davis, was really on fire, by the way, with Brock Purdy when Deebo was out. Now, Deebo is back, obviously, for San Francisco. I wonder, in your opinion, if that changes the dynamic. Brandon Ayuk's total amount of rushing yards on receiving yards in this game is set at 56.5 total yards. And boy, this seems like a great number because, the over is 100 Thrive points. The under is 100 Thrive fantasy points. So this is pretty much around his average for the season. What do you think happens on Saturday?
Yeah, this is a little bit of a gut feeling. I'm not gonna lie. Craig, I love the data. I love to come in here with the facts, but this is a little bit of my gut feeling. The first thing is that I think they're gonna take it a little bit easy on McCaffrey in this game. Again, assuming that the Seahawks don't really make them sweat, because the 49ers, I think, rightfully believe they can win the Super Bowl. I don't think they want to give McCaffrey like 30 touches in this game. Same deal for Deebo, right? Deebo is kind of working his way back in while Ayuk has sort of been the superstar this whole time. I think, honestly, the big loser from Deebo coming back is likely to be a guy you and I both love, George Kittle. Unfortunately, I do think his role is going to diminish here a little bit. So I'm taking the over on Ayuk. I just think he's been too good, man. I just think he really, to me, has been the 49ers' best offensive player in this crazy winning streak with Brock Purdy. Like, I mean, obviously McCaffrey is better at his position than them, but Ayuk plays such a difficult role, and he just is so phenomenal at it. So I'm going over here.
Okay, so to review, first two props of the five, the Thrive Five, we're going over here. Over on Kenneth Walker's rushing yards, and also over on Brandon Ayuk's receiving yards. Next, we'll tackle George Kittle. We'll go to Keenan Allen of the Chargers, and then Evan Engram in that second game on Saturday. Okay, so as you mentioned, Davis, the main beneficiary of having Brock Purdy in the lineup has been George Kittle. He has not been the best fantasy receiver by a long shot. That has been Travis Kelce all season long. If Purdy was playing all year long, I think Kittle would have given Kelce a run for the money. I mean, he has been fantastic catching. I mean, he's like the red zone guy. There has been no one else. Now, again, Deebo's been out some of those games, but even last week, Kittle's still heavily involved. Just to score a touchdown in this game, if he does, you get 115 Thrive fantasy points. If he does not, you get 85. So the lean here is on the over to get those points. Which position are you going to take here?
Yeah, I'm going to take the under here on Kittle. One, I think this correlates with what I was saying. So we're going with Kenneth Walker over. We're going with Brandon Ayuk over. That's like a little bit more of kind of like a slower ground and pound style game. Because when Kittle scores, like how many of his touchdowns are red zone touchdowns versus they're on the 47-yard line. George Kittle, fleeces some linebacker, knocks over a safety, and he's off, to the races. So I'm going to go the under here. I also think that a lot of people who are taking the Brock Purdy overs, which is 14.5 on Thrive, I think a lot of those people are going to correlate Purdy and George Kittle. That's just kind of my sense of how the field is going to play it. So I think this will get me into a more unique part of that Thrive contest there on Saturday. So I'm taking the under on George Kittle, 0.5 receiving touchdowns.
Okay, so under on Kittle. This will be the first under of the five that we're reviewing here on the show. Again, over on Kenneth Walker, over on Brandon Ayuk's receiving yards, under on George Kittle's touchdowns, which is just basically one, so that's a half. Next, we'll do Keenan Allen, and then we'll cap it off with Evan Engram. Okay, so Mike Williams at this point, Davis, at least from what I'm seeing, has no chance to play in this game. Am I wrong about this? Like, I do not think he is playing on Saturday based on this injury. Brandon Staley is getting crushed for this naturally. But let's also be clear, the Chargers have very capable receivers. We've seen situations last year, Davis, with Justin Herbert, where Keenan Allen was out and Mike Williams was out, and they would use different guys. Guyton, Palmer, I think, are the names, if I'm not mistaken, there. Their tight end also has been, fairly effective for them. Now, I'm not a huge fan of him, but he's played okay. Now let's talk about Keenan Allen this week. And there's a lot of layers here to this. If Williams is out, 63.5 receiving yards for Keenan Allen is his number. And this is the kind of thing, Davis, where I don't think this is going to be a close one. I think either he is going to smash this and hit like 180 on Saturday or do nothing. I just don't know which one it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting, right? Because we have seen such a variability in how Keenan Allen has played this year. Like when he's been banged up, he's been awful. When Herbert's been bad, his results have been bad. But now that he's fully healthy, I mean, I have this line just projected to be way off, honestly. I'm with you. There's probably a chance Mike Williams plays. It's Thursday afternoon. He's not practiced yet this week, but it's a playoff game. You know, Michael Bandy is Mike Williams's direct backup, so they probably would like Mike Williams to be out there. I think you're right though. I think he probably is not going to play. I mean, Keenan, like, look, we know what he's going to do. This dude is going to get 8 receptions for 87 yards with like some decent chance of a touchdown here against the Jaguars. So I'm going over here.
All right, and that will be the fourth of the fifth ones. Let's throw those up on the screen one more time, real quick, for everyone. Walker, Ayuk, Kittle, Keenan Allen, and Evan Engram. Those are the five we're reviewing. Let's do the last one, Davis. Evan Engram, total 4.5 receptions, over under.
Easiest under of my life, Craig. When you count on Evan Engram, he lets you down. That's just the way it works.
Okay, so under on Evan Engram. Now, guys, let's throw the final graphic up so everyone can see and screenshot this. These are the five props that Davis says to go with this weekend. Take all five there, over on Walker, over on IU, and screenshot the rest. We're out of time, but you're
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. And for those of you who are not yet following us on social media, you got to do it, folks. It's at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread, not to mention all of the content that we have here on the show. Davis, a big golf tournament coming up this weekend. I ain't going to make any predictions. This is not my expertise, but this is yours. Sony Open coming up this weekend. I know I texted you just a couple of questions about the Sony Open. What do you think? Who do you think is the winner of this week's tournament? I know some a different field, some different favorites in this one too.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like these tournaments. We get like a good mix of guys people might know, and then you know, there are a lot of like 85th through 115th in the world style golfers here. I really like this golf course. You don't have to be like a really long hitter to crush here. The fairways are pretty fast and firm. They let the grass, the rough grow a little bit here. I'm gonna say that Corey Connors wins this event. I believe he's going off at like 22-1 at most of our partnered sports books. Data Golf has him a little bit worse than that. They estimate him at about 28-1. But you know what? Like, you got to take the worst of it sometimes, and get a winning bet. And I probably am going to end up betting Corey Connors.
All right, so there you go. Corey Connors for the win this weekend at the Sony Open. How about the win for fantasy or reality? I like when we get these right. It's time for some fantasy or reality. Here we go. All right, Davis, welcome back. Let's do it. Fantasy or reality? Nelson Cruz, who, I mean, I guess he's kind of on his way, I think, to like 500 home runs in Major League Baseball. Still going to probably have to play, I think, a couple more years. Oddly signed last season with the Washington Nationals. Go figure that one. I did not see it coming. In fact, he had such a tough season, he wasn't even moved at the trade deadline. But he finds himself back on a Major League deal with a very good team, by the way, the San Diego Padres. I don't know if he'll play. I don't know how he'll play, but he's got a guaranteed $1 million contract. What does that mean, Davis, in baseball? It don't mean nothing, right? They could cut that guy in spring training. That's a nothing contract in baseball. But let's throw it out there. Albert Pujols had that renaissance. Let's keep that in the back of our mind before we go further. Fantasy or reality, Nelson Cruz will hit at least 20 home runs this season for San Diego.
Yeah, no chance. No chance does he hit 20 home runs, because I think they're too good to get him the plate appearances. So if you extrapolate his isolated slugging or his home runs per plate appearance from the last couple years, but you only give him, let's say, 370 60 plate appearances or whatever, I don't think that he can. I just don't think that that math ends up working out, which is not to say that I think like his skills have completely eroded or anything like that. Cause I think probably if Nelson Cruz still wants to be playing baseball at, what is he, 42 years old, going to turn 43 during the season, like he probably can still do it the same way Pujols could still do it. It's just like, they're not able to do it every day. They're probably playing twice a week or whatever. So yeah, I got fantasy. Right? I don't see this one, Craig.
Yeah, I got fantasy too. Cruz is a really interesting Hall of Fame story too, Davis, because he sort of falls in that category of suspended, like right at the time the steroid stuff was sort of, you know, players were starting to get suspended too. But a great guy, really charitable guy, and a favorite from a lot of fans and a lot of players too, and sort of, you know, fought through that over the course of his great career. But Davis, this is one of those deals where it's like, you think he's going to be on the team during the season, but then again, it's like, I don't really know how he sort of helps the Padres. So I'm going to say fantasy too, man. I'm going to say fantasy too. I want to beat this one. I want him to be able to do it. And I know, I believe he's like the manager, if I'm not mistaken, of the World Baseball Classic team there too. So he's got a lot of respect. It's going to be hard to cut a guy like this. So I guess we'll see. But no, I can't say fantasy. I don't see another Pujols story coming out of this one this year. All right, Davis, what is going on with the University of Kentucky? They are just, I mean, this is one of the worst seasons I can recall in a long time for them. They have not played good basketball. John Calipari, one of the best college coaches in the history of college basketball, had that little cup of coffee with the Nets, came back. And it has really good seasons with the Wildcats, but this is not going to be one of them. There's some speculation that maybe at the end of the year he'd be done. Fantasy reality, Coach Calipari, Coach Cal, will leave Lexington at the end of this season.
I mean, I think I'm probably just going to take the safe one here and say no, because so much of what John Calipari does is it's like not even about the on-court product for Kentucky, right? It's that they are always able to bring in the best and the brightest, you know, the absolute like guys who are going to go to the NBA, you know, Anthony Davis and John Wall and all these guys. Like that is sort of the legacy of the Kentucky program. And I think that that's probably like very good from a, like, that's got to be good for a cash perspective for that team, you would have to think. Like, don't you think it's probably really good for the University of Kentucky to have like all these number one NBA guys coming in? And so if they don't win, like, who cares? You know, he's still going to get the number one prospect on Max Preps in the next year. So yeah, he's going to stay.
Yeah, I think that this is reality. But Davis, what has changed here, I guess we probably should bring this up, is the NIL stuff has completely changed all right. of college sports. And so this notion, Davis, that like Alabama's getting the best football players, like that's like kind of gone now at this point, because again, the money is involved here too. So this applies very directly to college basketball as well. Maybe that's a factor here. I'm not schooled enough to know if that is potentially a factor, but I'm going to guess that it is. I will say that he will stay at Kentucky, because if he's going to coach at a school, this is definitely the one for him to still be at. And naturally, you are seeing clamoring for some of these other jobs. I don't know, Davis, if you saw this the other day, but you know, Patrick Ewing is having a really tough time at Georgetown University this year, another really good school. I don't know if you saw this, but Jay Williams came out and said, it's always been my dream.
I did see that. Yeah.
So you can tell, like, not only the NIL stuff is going on, but the coaching stuff is going on too. If Calipari leaves, everybody will want that job. And I don't know that there's a better gig for him out there. So I will say fantasy as well. All right, White Castle, Davis, we're talking burgers once again here on the show. They have their new menu coming out, and they have their new VIP program just in time for the holiday season. You can take your date, you could take your Valentine to go get White Castle and have a nice little Valentine's Day meal. We'll show the graphic up here in a second. You'll kind of see what it looks like here. Maybe on the 14th, you're going out there with your significant other. She's very into burgers, or he, if you're watching and you want to bring your husband there. Fantasy reality, Davis. White Castle, the sliders, make a great Valentine's Day meal. Fantasy or reality? I didn't realize what a burger expert you were a few days ago here on the show, so I'm sure you've tried these before.
Okay, so Craig, this is I mean this like this is so inside my life, which is like really funny. So there are a couple different things. One is I live in St. Louis, right? Which is where White Castle was originated. People love these here. They're, I would say outside of like McDonald's, Burger King, and besides McDonald's and Burger King, probably White Castle is like the number three place around here. Like people love White Castle. There's one on like every other corner. But the other interesting intersection is there is a slider place in my hometown. It's called the Cozy Inn. It's like our big claim to fame. It's been on, all the Food Channel shows, Diners and Drives and Historical Places to Eat. And it was on Route 66 and all. It's like a little six, what do they call it? Six stool diner or whatever, and they make sliders. And the thing that they always said was that the White Castle guy stole the idea from them, right? Is that was kind of always that was the lore in my hometown, which obviously is not true. But here's the thing, man. Sliders are absolutely delicious. They are so good. It is almost the perfect little bite of protein and cheese and bread. If you do it, if you don't like onions, you're not going to like sliders because it's basically just fried ground beef in like onion juice. So if you're not an onion person, you're not going to like it. Obviously, I love onions. Onions are so good to me. Now on Valentine's Day, nice Italian dinner. 10, that's what we do. Some people like other stuff, but we always go to a nice Italian place because there's like good ethnic Italian food here in St. Louis. But I mean, if I brought home sliders to my wife on Valentine's Day, she'd definitely eat them for sure.
So I am not going to be in the same category as you on this, Davis, unfortunately. I'm going to have to say this is a fantasy. Now, my wife definitely will enjoy a good burger. I will say that that is true. I will say that I'm no stranger to the grill. In fact, we got a new grill about maybe a year ago, and I would say that's probably 3 times a week, four, maybe 3 times a week. That sounds fair. Maybe 4 sometimes, but usually I'm cooking up something, a steak, a burger, etc. But Davis, ain't no way I'm getting away with this on Valentine's Day. It is not happening. I would get the look. I'd get the screaming. Are you kidding me? Like this is our night. This is our time to go out, go do something. The fortunate part of living in Florida, Davis, is that we have a delicacy here. And honestly, delicacy all across the country too. It's just not going to be as fresh, but we have stone crabs here in Florida. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried these before. If you have
They're
not, it has a
so they're
very high
so good,
recommendation.
man. They're
Yeah, this
so
is a high
good.
recommendation. That is going to be my wallet take a big hit, but that is going to be my go-to on Valentine's Day. I'm going to guess it has been for years and years, but Davis, having fresh stone crabs is, I mean, for anybody who has not tried it before, that with the mustard, or some people like the oil or lemon, whatever it is, I gotta tell you, that's gonna be the Valentine's Day. So I got fantasy there.
Okay, so this is the thing, Craig. I'm from the Midwest. I've always lived in the Midwest. I've never, and I will forever, right? Like that's the deal. But in the Midwest, all of our local things, like you go to a town, you go to a city, their local thing, it's always going to be heavy. It's always going to be something that sits in the bottom of your gut. It's going to be a lot of fat, probably a lot of sugar, probably a lot of butter. Like that's just kind of the way that people eat here in the Midwest, because we're all like Scandinavian descendants here. The coastal places, it's so different. Like seafood in
Sure.
Miami,
Yep.
burritos and stuff like that in California. Like all, New York has like everything you could ever ask for. So, beggars can't be choosy, and I'm fine with that. Obviously, I wish that I could, walk down the street, go to a bar, get a Diet Coke and eat some stone crab, but that's not going to be on the menu for me, unfortunately.
All right, fair enough. All right, we will definitely consider food in the future. I always like talking food here on the show, by the way.
Yeah,
But Davis
I
and
go to
I have
lunch right after this. This is perfect.
I know. I'm already thinking about it. I've already ordered my lunch. I gotta go pick it up after the show is over. I got another show to do, by the way, 2 o'clock Eastern. For those of you who never watched, it's Newswire at 2 o'clock. Also, a reminder here on the show, we did our Thrive Fantasy preview today. tomorrow we will run through the entire slate in DFS for the upcoming wildcard game. So join us for tomorrow's show on that. We will be right back here with more fantasy sports today with the Sports Grid 60. So stay on the grid for that. Craig Mish, Davis Paddock here on Thursday afternoon. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today here on the Sports Grid. Can't wait for Super Wild Card Weekend, folks. It's coming fast and furious. Again, join us tomorrow. We'll give you the daily fantasy preview here on the show. Before we end the program, though, it's time for the Sports Grid 60. Here's Davis.
All right, so the Kansas City Chiefs, of all the teams in the AFC, did probably they conceded the least in all of this, right? In terms of, like, you know, they got to choose home field advantage or the first round bye or whatever. The Bengals and the Ravens took the worst of it. The Bengals ended up winning, so it didn't matter. There's no coin flipping going on there. But there, to me, Craig, there is something sort of unseemly about the AFC Conference Championship game being played indoors in Atlanta. The NFL, like 5-6 minutes ago, just announced that is where the game is going to be played. I mean, that's so far away from Kansas City. That's so far away from Buffalo. That's so far away from Cincinnati. I don't know. It's like more of like a Super Bowl type environment as opposed to like a home. Like, I think Indianapolis would have been perfect. Lucas Oil Stadium. Oh, I don't even think it's called that anymore. But that's close enough to Kansas City, close enough to Cincinnati, close, you know. I'm bummed out about it being in Atlanta.
Yeah. Fans from Kansas City will travel and travel well for that game. I wouldn't be particularly worried about that. I want to end with Derek Carr. I'm sure we'll be talking about this throughout the week. I said this a couple of weeks ago when it happened, and I'll say it again now. I understand it is the Raiders. Davis made a good point. There's always dysfunction going on with the Raiders. That is true. But this feels so bad for Derek Carr. Like, I mean, so many times when I'm scrolling through the show and, you know, finding video for our old shows, new shows, it's always Derek Carr at that poor podium talking and, like, just pouring his heart out for the Raiders. It feels like he was just done wrong in that situation. I hope it works out for him. So good to see that he said goodbye to the fans today. All right, that'll do it for our show. Thanks again, LTN, our friends, our producers, naturally, our graphics department for Davis. I'm Craig. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Davis and I'll be back here to recap the week and look forward to the weekend tomorrow right here on FS2.